The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, and you exact taxes of grain from him, you've built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the man said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, the man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Mark chapter 10, 17 to 22, the gospel lesson that was just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing quite like an inheritance to turn a happy family into an ugly brawl. A number of years ago, my Aunt Dorothy passed away, leaving her estate to her two daughters and two sons. I don't remember all the details at this point, but there were a couple of pieces of real estate, a suburban house, its furnishings and goods, and a sizable chunk of money in the bank. The two sons thought each child was going to get one quarter of the inheritance, but when the will was read, most of it went to the two daughters and their families. The two sons contested the will in court, accusing the daughters of unduly influencing Aunt Dorothy in her last days. The sons lost the case. It proved to be a valid will, and the sons had to pay attorney fees for both sides, and they have not talked to their sisters ever since. In fact, they haven't talked to my side of the family either. We don't even know where they are. When you talk about your inheritance, you're talking about what you think is rightfully yours. The truth is, if your parents have properly executed their will, your inheritance is what they are giving to you. It is a gift, not a right. But try explaining that to people. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus encountered a man who thought that eternal life was his rightful inheritance. In verse 17, the man kneeled before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The word for inherit in Greek at that point is kleronomeso. It is a compound word in the Greek consisting of the stems meaning law and portion. In other words, to inherit in Greek means to receive the portion that is yours by legal right. Therefore, this man thought he could, by some means, obtain his portion of eternal life by showing his legal right in God's heavenly court. And that's what he was asking about. Now, where did the man get this idea? It's not taught in the Old Testament. Many of the Jews at the time of Christ had a mistaken notion that the kingdom of God was theirs by inheritance from their parents. We can see this when John the Baptist addressed the Pharisees and Sadducees, saying to them, "You brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" Matthew 3:7-9. Many of them thought that simply by being born into the Jewish race, that they had the kingdom of God and eternal life as a right, not as a gift. Now, this man was a little better informed than many of his peers. He realized that he could forfeit the kingdom of God and eternal life by living a life full of sin. When Jesus reminded the man about the Ten Commandments, the man replied, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." The word for kept in the Greek means something like carefully watching. More than simply obeying, this man had been always scrupulous in understanding the law and fulfilling it in every way. He was a man that we would say had integrity. He was a man who was conscientious in every aspect of life. And because he was zealous for God and God's law, Jesus loved him. He was a man after Jesus' own heart in many, many ways. This man was not an evil man. He was not puffed up with religious pride like many of the Pharisees or Sadducees. He was not a fanatic like the zealots of the day who opposed the Roman Empire. He was not a man who was impressed with his own intelligence like the many philosophers of the day. He was what you would consider an outstanding citizen. You would like to have this man as your neighbor, or as a co-worker, or maybe as your son-in-law. Not only was he a good man, he was also a rich man. And therein lay a problem. Next week, our gospel lesson includes Jesus' teaching about wealth, and it's the rest of the pericope. It's the other half of this story. So we'll wait for that topic until then. In response to the man's question about what should I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus made what seems to be a cruel and unreasonable demand. Jesus demanded that he give away all of his possessions to the poor, abandon his family and friends, and follow Jesus. That meant literally following Jesus from town to town, what his disciples did. Now, Jesus had demanded this of the 12 apostles, and they complied. But this man would not. He wanted eternal life, but he also wanted a good life here on earth. He wanted to have his cake and eat it too, and I think most of us feel the same way. We don't want to give up everything for Jesus. Do you yourself have to go sell all that you have and give to the poor in order to receive eternal life as your spiritual inheritance? Now, that is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches with respect to its doctrine of monasticism. When they die, monks and nuns who have abandoned private property are believed to immediately receive eternal life as their right and inheritance. They teach that the rest of the faithful, because they're too attached to the things of this earth, have to undergo a period of purgation after they die. That's the doctrine of purgatory. And they believe that some of that time in purgatory can be shortened by the prayers of the faithful, or by a plenary indulgence, as was recently announced by Pope Francis in June of this year when he visited Dublin in Ireland. Yes, they are still issuing indulgences because they still believe in purgatory. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession gives the official Lutheran response to these ideas, and it states, I quote, and this is at length, "Our opponents at the Diet of Augsburg quote another passage on perfection. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor and come follow me." Matthew 19:21. This passage has exercised many people because they imagined that perfection consists in casting off possessions and the control of property. The truth is that the abandonment of property is neither commanded nor advised in Scripture. The poverty of the gospel, Matthew 5, verse 3, does not consist in the abandonment of property, but in the absence of greed and the trust in riches. Perfection consists in that what Christ adds at the end, "Follow me." This sets forth the example of obedience in a calling. Since callings vary, this call of poverty is not for everyone, but only for the person with whom Christ is speaking here. Callings are personal, but the example of obedience is universal. It would have been perfection for this young man to believe and obey this calling. And so it is perfection for each of us with true faith to obey his own calling. That's Apology 27, sections 45 to 50, and it's speaking about our gospel lesson story today. That's the end of the quote. The apology is saying that Jesus' command to go and sell all that you have was just for that man and not for all Christians. In a similar way, Jesus told his 12 apostles to leave behind their former vocations, such as fishing as a business, or tax collecting, because he needed them to do work for his church. Jesus didn't call his disciples to become, that is, all of his disciples to become apostles or ministers, only some of them. And we know about the 12. The giving up of property and the leaving behind of parents and family only applied to the few that Christ called to preach the gospel and serve the church. For the rest, property is a gift of God to be used for the welfare of our family and our neighbors and to be managed wisely. The biggest issue here, however, is that the man believed that in some way he could make eternal life his right. That is something that God owed him. Many religions make the same error. But St. Paul puts that error to rest when he wrote, quote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9. Eternal life is a free gift of God. That's free on his end. He doesn't owe you anything. And he does it through his unconditional grace. You can't earn it or obtain it by good works, by obedience, by self-sacrifice, by virtue, or by any other means, except you need to have faith in the promises of the gospel, through which faith the merits of Christ are accounted by God to be your own, in spite of your own sinfulness and your lack of perfection. And this is the gospel which we preach, and by which you and all believers are saved. In Jesus' name, amen.